Chapter 5. Emerging from Dissatisfaction. The major prerequisites for the practice of Tantra, commonly called the three principal aspects of the Sutra vehicle to enlightenment, are renunciation, the dedicated heart of Bodhicitta, and the correct view of emptiness. Here, to emphasize that the cultivation of these three states of mind creates the space in which tantric transformation can take place, we discuss them under the chapter headings Emerging, Opening, and Dissolving. First comes renunciation. The mind emerging from its ordinary, limiting preoccupations and taking an interest instead in realizing its unlimited, completely liberated potential. What is renunciation? Some of the preliminary methods for making space within our mind have been mentioned already. For example, Tantra can only be practiced effectively once we have become disillusioned with our ordinary way of grasping at sensory desires. We must have a deep, heartfelt understanding that such grasping never leads to satisfaction, but only to pain and disappointment. If we fail to see how our ordinary attachment to pleasure binds us tightly to the wheel of repeated disappointment, samsara, we will make the same mistakes with Tantra that we have been making in our ordinary pursuits of happiness. Whenever we experience a blissful sensation as a result of our practice, we will grasp at it as something self-existent and definitely capable of giving us endless enjoyment. Like a spider waiting for a fly, we will pounce greedily onto whatever attractive experience comes along. Trying to squeeze pleasure out of things in this way is completely deluded, and as long as we have such an unrealistic attitude, we will never know true satisfaction. If we do not let go of this grasping attitude, we will unintentionally turn Tantra into yet another meaningless journey around in circles. So first of all, we need to develop a certain amount of renunciation. Because renunciation is often confused with the fearful, rejecting state of mind I criticized earlier, perhaps I will start by describing what renunciation is not. If a situation is difficult, we can renounce it by giving it up or avoiding it. This may be called renunciation, but it is not the renunciation of samsara. Or perhaps our heart is broken because we fought with our friend, so we move to another city to escape further pain. Again, this is not renunciation. Or perhaps we cannot cope with society any longer, so we run away into the bush declaring, "I renounce worldly life completely." By living like an animal without any of the conveniences of civilization, we are certainly renouncing something, but this is still not true renunciation. We may think that renunciation has something to do with religious observance, that by studying spiritual teachings and practicing meditation, we are a true renunciate. But this is not necessarily so. If someone criticizes what we are doing, "You are just on a weird Eastern trip," and we get upset, this shows we have not developed renunciation at all. Instead, it is a sign that we are holding on to our religion as we would any ordinary sense object. In other words, by our grasping attitude, we have turned a spiritual practice into yet another form of ordinary attachment. What the development of true renunciation implies is that we no longer rely on sensory pleasures for our ultimate happiness. We see the futility of expecting deep satisfaction from such limited, transitory phenomena. It is important to understand this point clearly. Renunciation is not the same as giving up pleasure or denying ourselves happiness. It means giving up our unreal expectations about ordinary pleasures. The expectations themselves are what turn pleasure into pain. It cannot be said too often that there is nothing wrong with pleasure. It is our grasping, exaggerating, distorting, and polluting attitude toward pleasure that must be abandoned. Developing detachment. The Tibetan term, generally translated as renunciation, has the literal meaning of definite emergence. It indicates a deep, heartfelt decision definitely to emerge from the repeated frustrations and disappointments of ordinary life. Simply stated, renunciation is the feeling of being so completely fed up with our recurring problems that we are finally ready to turn away from our attachments to this and that, and begin searching for another way to make our life satisfying and meaningful. Thus, the cultivation of renunciation, or definite emergence, involves detaching ourselves from those sticky habits of attachment that hold us back from experiencing our fullest human potential. There are certain times during our life, as will be discussed in Chapter 10, when our senses automatically withdraw from their objects and we experience what could be called a natural detachment or a natural renunciation. At such times, there is nothing for us to grasp onto and nothing for us to be attached to. In such a state, even the most attractive sensory object is powerless to magnetize and divert our mind. But generally, we are anything but detached when it comes to the objects of our experience. We are continually attracted to and hypnotized by a never-ending stream of sense impressions and forever on the lookout for something new and different to excite and interest us. If we own a car, that is not good enough. We need two. And when we have two, it is still not good enough. We need a boat. Even the boat is not enough. We need a bigger one. And so it goes on and on to infinity. This is dissatisfaction, the very opposite of the truly renounced or emerging mind. Somehow, we need to learn to be natural, to be naturally detached from material objects, from our grasping after this and that. I am not saying this because, as a backward Tibetan, I am jealous of wealthy Westerners, nor am I saying that you are bad because you remain rich while others are poor. I am merely trying to answer the question, why are we dissatisfied? We can always find some external cause to blame for our dissatisfaction. There is not enough of this, not enough of that. But this is never the real reason for our restlessness and disappointment. What is missing is inside, and this is what we all have to recognize. Satisfaction is not dependent on material objects. It is something that comes from simplicity, inner simplicity. When I talk of being detached, what I mean is to be simpler, more easygoing. Detachment does not mean totally renouncing everything. It means that you loosen your grip and become more relaxed. There are many pleasures available in the world, but as long as you are uptight and anxious, fearfully holding on to your money and possessions, your wealth will only make you more and more unhappy. If you do not know how to relax and be satisfied with what you have, if you do not know how to appreciate the natural beauty of your environment, if you do not know how to be simple, then even if you were to possess all the money in the world, you would still be miserable. Renunciation, then, does not mean that we should give up our pleasure. Far from it. The whole philosophy of Buddhism in general, and of Tantra in particular, is that as human beings with virtually unlimited potential, we should aim for the highest pleasure possible. What true renunciation is based on is the realization that our ordinary pleasures are second rate. They are inconsequential when compared with the extraordinary bliss to be had from awakening the energies latent within us and fulfilling our deepest potential. Not only are these ordinary pleasures second rate, but our grasping at them perverts us from experiencing the superior happiness of full self-realization. Our grasping, squeezing attitude is an intoxicant that dulls our natural clarity. We become more and more deeply enmeshed in the world of ordinary appearances and more removed from our essential nature. To develop renunciation means to realize how our ordinary reliance on pleasure is preventing us from tasting this higher, more complete happiness. With the proper development of renunciation, we give ourselves a break from our usual compulsive and constricting reliance on sense pleasures. The more we understand that these pleasures are not capable of giving us the lasting happiness we desire, the more we relax our expectations and become realistic. Instead of being uptight from either craving after pleasure or rejecting it guiltily, we feel more at ease. Unpleasant circumstances cease to bother us so much. And if we experience something pleasant, we accept it comfortably, taking what enjoyment it has to give without demanding or expecting anything more from it. We can be relaxed in this way not only because we understand that these pleasures are transitory, but because our sights are set on an even higher form of happiness, the fulfillment of our essential nature. With this transcendental goal in mind, we do not become overly excited by the fleeting pleasures we experience, nor do we become depressed when things are going badly. In other words, instead of taking refuge in sensory objects as the solution to our dissatisfaction, we place our reliance on our own inner potential. Giving up false refuge. The phrase, taking refuge, is borrowed from its traditional context, the often repeated Buddhist declaration of faith in the teachers, teachings, and spiritual community. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. To make the point that taking refuge in momentary, transitory pleasures is something we are doing all the time with an almost religious fervor and conviction. For example, one day we may think, "Oh, I am so depressed. I think I'll go to the beach." So we drive to the ocean, jump into the water, play around like a fish, and then lie down to fry in the sun. When this becomes boring, we think, "Now I am hungry. Where is the refreshment stand?" Then we stuff ourselves with as much junk food as possible, hoping to find some satisfaction in the ice cream, popcorn, Coke, and chocolate we are devouring. We take refuge in these things as a way out of our depression and boredom, only to end up fat and sunburned. When Buddhism speaks of taking refuge, it is emphasizing the importance of breaking out of this desperate, unfulfilling search for satisfaction. Taking true refuge involves a changing of our attitude. It comes from seeing the ultimate worthlessness of the transitory phenomena we are ordinarily attracted to. When we see clearly the unsatisfactory character of the things we have been chasing after, our compulsive striving for them will automatically diminish, and the driving force of our grasping will subside. We cease to be tossed this way and that by the changing fortunes of our life and gain the space to begin tapping our inner potential.